many of these have we done now? We've done
about 125. 125?
And have we ever done one just the two of us?
This is the second time. We did one Monday. We did one Monday that we did a recap.
Really? I have no recollection of that. That must have been early on.
I think it was like the second week when Corey was booking guests.
Well, here we are, and it's a Friday, and we don't have a guest. And so we're going to have to... Well, for the first 40 seconds or so, we've done all right. If we can figure out a way to last another 45 minutes.
I'm going to ask that famous question. Are we there yet? Are we done?
You're going to be asking it a lot then over the next little while.
Yes, I know.
Mr. Shannon thinks that you and the audience will have some interest in how this thing works, this podcast thing.
No, you're making stuff up.
No,
so
no, I'm not.
Here's what I think people are fascinated with your life. I really do.
I don't think they're the least bit interested in my life.
I do.
I think they're really interested in your life. And if you had one to share, you would.
No, I don't. I'm a very private person. But I think people who have the subscribers on whatever platform that watch or listen to the show, I think they've come back because you're Bob Cowan. What have you learned about doing a podcast? What have you learned about this business?
Well, I've learned everything because I knew nothing when I started.
I mean, I remember we used to sit in the studio, and somebody would say, this is because the old show used to be in podcast form too. It used to be on the platforms, and they would divide it up an hour for three different podcasts, 3 hours, whatever. And you kept saying, well, how do we do that? What's the podcast? Should we be doing a podcast?
Well, I have no idea. I had no idea what a podcast even was, but now there are more people doing them than are listening to them.
You're probably right.
I think the average number of listeners to each podcast in this country is less than one.
Our podcast was for me, to start this thing, our podcast was the great pandemic sanity test. Because what it did, because when we started doing it, it was 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And at least it got me out of bed.
Well, I can go back before that because really the origin of this was a thing called, okay, you got 5 minutes.
Yeah, nobody wants 5 minute podcasts.
Well, I'm not sure that that's the case. We kind of thought that maybe that would make it the niche because you could listen to it as many as you wanted over a period of time, or you could, if you're going to the grocery store, you could flip it on, assuming it's a 5 minute drive. Anyway, we did that for a while, and I don't even remember how many episodes. And then one day, for reasons that are inexplicable, you became the guest on that podcast. And I kind of got tired of it because people were asking me questions. And then you and I hooked up and decided to do this thing. And one thing has led to another.
I'm fascinated with the audience seems to love the long form. Like, I mean, there are podcasts that are 2.5 hours.
But I don't think
our friends Merrick and Friedman do one, an hour 42. I mean, they're long.
Well, I find it hard to believe that people listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
First of all, you can't keep people's attention for that long. And secondly, nobody's got that amount of time.
Well, they have during the pandemic, Bob.
Well, if you're not working, not doing anything, I guess you got all the time in the world. But most people still have their jobs, albeit they're working from home rather than from... going to the office. But anyway, since we've gotten into this, we started out thinking, let's do about a half hour. Seemed like the right length of time. I don't know. What would you say the average commute in in the GTA is. It's probably more than a half an hour, but not a lot more.
Well, pre-pandemic from anywhere, you know, within 20 kilometers of downtown, it's an hour and a half in rush hour.
Well, it can be.
Yeah. But pandemic now, I can make it from my house to downtown in 22 minutes, Bob.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, how long did it take you to get home?
An hour, 22 minutes.
It took you an hour that long?
Yeah.
Really, huh?
No question.
See, and for me, it was 17 minutes.
Well, yeah, but then you'd always be late anyway.
No, I wasn't.
Then you'd phone from the baby.
No, I'm talking about coming home. I'm coming home. It took me 17 minutes to get home. Anyway, so we started doing 30 minutes, and then because we don't know how to shut up, and because there's no clock on a podcast, or there didn't used to be, we'd go a little bit longer each time. And I think we did one that was over an hour. I don't think we did more than one, but we did one half-hour podcast that lasted an hour. And then radio came along.
But some of the podcasts that we did before the radio stuff could have gone longer, but you get impatient.
Well, no, I don't. Well, I do get impatient, but it's not so much that, John. It was just, what's the right length? And we had sort of decided that 30 minutes was the right length.
Yeah, but there was always that one extra question.
Well, that's always you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to go. And because I, unlike you, I actually have a clock running during this show so that I know exactly how long we've gone. Do you want me to hold it up? See?
But it's a podcast. So we, you know, now we do. But in
the, well, no,
in
but the that other, was just so we, you know, we don't go ridiculously long because you have no sense of time at all.
I have a great sense of time. So, but you know,
sense of when to shut up then. It's one of the two.
Now that's a different topic. But you know, in all the production meetings we used to have for the show, we never really discussed what the questions would be.
The radio show or this show?
This show.
We haven't had a production meeting for any show that I've done in 40 years.
I'm well aware of that.
There's nothing more, there's no greater waste of time than production meetings with producers. Because the only thing that producers will do is mess you up.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'm sure that the talent that you work with at Hockey Night would agree with me.
Well, we'll ask a couple guys next week, so we can ask that question. So,
you know, I prepare as I'm going along.
That's right.
There's no point preparing in advance.
Oh, okay.
Because you forget half the stuff.
Hey, you have to go to commercial now, though.
Oh, now you're going to produce? Again, John, it is a radio show now, but it's a podcast principally, and we can go whenever we want.
Okay.
But since you want to, and it's been a long time since you produced anything worthwhile, at least.
Thank you for that.
We'll accede to John's wishes and take the first break. We'll be back, I think, after these messages. Bob McCown and John Shannon, we're here alone. No one wanted to talk to us today. I think it's more accurate to say no one wanted to talk to you, Shannon.
I think you're probably right. But I've learned after all these years not to take it personally.
Yeah.
You'll of course say, well, we didn't. Well, why not? Why didn't we get them?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to talk to you, Bob.
Well, I've never said that at all, but I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want to.
Right.
Who were we supposed to have today, by the way? Do you want to tell the audience who we were supposed to
have? Yeah, no, because we were supposed to have Rick Bonus today. And Rick is actually, as we're taping this, Rick is on the ice with his team because they lost 3-0 to Tampa last night in Dallas. And this is a crunch time for them. They, you know, they're in fifth spot in their division, and there's lots of pressure to make the playoffs because Dallas, believe it or not, Dallas is one of the few places that is talking about having full arenas if they get playoffs. So That means a lot of money.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Florida and Texas lead that parade.
Well, Dallas is in Texas, so.
Well, that's what I get, but Florida.
Yeah, I don't think Florida's there yet, but that, in Texas, if the Stars make the playoffs, it sounds like they're going to be able to fill the building. So this is crunch time for the Dallas Stars.
Well, I appreciate that he had things to do, but I can't imagine he's completely shocked that they lost to Tampa Bay, who are not only a very good hockey team, but the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. So. And your Toronto Maple Leafs played pretty well.
Well, they're not my Toronto Maple Leafs, but another victory, another pretty good performance defensively.
Oh, yeah.
And
although Vancouver, I do feel bad for Vancouver, because I think with after all the stuff that the Canucks went through, I think they've hit the wall, Bob. I really do. I think they've just hit the darn wall.
Well, look, it was an uphill. It was going to be an uphill battle and a lot of games in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I know that they won a few games and expectations or hopes were raised beyond the level of reality, and they just couldn't keep it up. And I'm not really surprised.
No, but the Maple Leafs look good. They and with Edmonton losing last night to Calgary, it certainly looks like the Maple Leafs are a lot closer to guaranteeing themselves that first spot.
And as recently as a day ago, I asked you if we can safely assume that it'll be Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and you more or less said yes. If you didn't say yes,
yeah,
Calgary's not done yet, quite.
No, if you do the math, Calgary has 7 games left, including Saturday night in Edmonton.
They're 4 back.
And they play they're 4 points back. Montreal does have a game in hand, but Montreal has 3 games against the Maple Leafs, who plays very well against them. 2 games against Ottawa, and they cannot beat Ottawa. And Ottawa is playing its best hockey of the year as well. A game against Winnipeg, I believe. And another one against one against Edmonton. Yeah. So the interesting part of it is that Calgary's schedule is heavily Vancouver and then Edmonton. So I think there's a chance that Calgary could squeak in, because Montreal's not playing very well.
That's what I said. And then you tried to disagree with me as if Montreal's a lock, and they're not.
I know. I had lost confidence in Calgary. I admit it. I had lost confidence in Calgary. Well, and I saw them play last night, and they were the better team against Edmonton for sure last night.
I'll tell you what's really interesting about this COVID season and the way this is playing out. I don't remember as many streaky, like literally every team has gone through a streak of playing really well and a streak mm-hmm. of playing really poorly. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Maple Leafs didn't win for 5 in a row. They had a streak earlier where they lost, I don't know, 4 or 5 in a row. Winnipeg is now on a run. They've had a couple of those. Like literally every team has had a week or 10 days where they played great and a week or 10 days where they played like crap.
Yeah, your point about Winnipeg's accurate, because before they, you know, when they beat the Maple Leafs, they looked like the better team. They've now lost, I think the number's now 5 in a row. And they have Montreal in their next game. So it'll be interesting to see what that is like. They played much better against Edmonton the last game, but there are people a little nervous in Winnipeg. I don't think they should be nervous in Winnipeg, but because I just think that team, it's got a couple of injuries. They'll be back before the playoffs start, I think. Nick Ehlers and Adam Lowry. I think Winnipeg is a good team. Those 3 teams at the top, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, are very, very close in the end. And I do guess at this point you have to give the advantage to Toronto if their goaltending holds up, because both Edmonton and Winnipeg, in my opinion, have better goaltending.
So that raises this conundrum. Anderson is the number one goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I guess.
Nope. I don't think so.
Well, if he's healthy and ready to play come playoff time and doesn't have a game under his belt, let's just say he does not play in the remaining regular season games, but declares himself healthy for game one of the playoffs.
Right.
Campbell continues to play the way he has, which over the last three games has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And overall has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Who do you start?
Campbell. I start Campbell. I mean, Jack Campbell, in my opinion, Jack Campbell. So what are we, middle of April? So end of April. Jack Campbell is the goalie of record right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs, in my opinion. I'm not going to say the number one goalie, but he's the goalie of record. And I think the Maple Leafs are doing their damnedest to make sure he's in the best form come the playoffs.
So what are the circumstances under which you might change that opinion?
Injury or Campbell loses two in a row?
Oh, loses two in a row in the playoffs?
Yeah.
So he's right now, he's your starting goaltender in game one of the playoffs, whether Anderson's ready or not.
Correct. No doubt in my mind. And I truly believe that's the thinking process within the Maple Leaf organization.
Do you think that is because of Campbell's performance, or is it a reflection of the historic inability of Anderson to perform in the playoffs? Because that exists too.
Yes.
You can't answer an either or question with yes.
But I think it's a bit of both. I think there's something to it. You know, part the second part, you know, his performance in the playoffs is such that I think we always thought when Anderson wasn't good in the playoffs, it was because he was tired. You know, he had played too much in the regular season and too many games in the playoffs. Well, that's not going to be the issue. That's not going to be the issue.
No, you're right. But that's I view that as a, you know, that's a bunch of analytical nonsense.
Well, I'm not an analytical guy, Bob.
But you can't quantify that. There's no way.
No, but you can look at a goalie and see if he's and sense that he's tired. They have experts on clubs that can see that. That's what they do for.
Yeah, they have experts on clubs that finish in 31st place. You know, does that mean
but
that
they're not experts for long?
Well, again, so they bring another group in that are just as dumb as the ones they got rid of. So don't give me that nonsense. You can see that he's tired. Come on.
You can.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Oh, Bob.
You're looking at your, that is an excuse that is made by all teams because they have a reluctance to be critical of their own. Somebody is always ready with an excuse. And the stereotypical excuse is, well, he was tired.
Well, as opposed to sitting in the press conference.
All right. So let's take that excuse just a second.
Okay.
Take that excuse a little further. So one season, Anderson plays 65 games during the regular season, gets to the playoffs.
Mm.
He's out of gas.
Right.
Plays like crap, Leafs lose in the first round.
Oh.
What do you do the next year?
Well, you shouldn't play Anderson 65 games.
Aha! Have they done that?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then he played like crap again.
Well, then he whiffed on a couple of pucks. Yeah.
How many games has he played now this year?
What?
15?
Yeah, maybe. 20? I don't know. I haven't seen the number. Yeah, not many.
Shouldn't be tired.
That's what I said 10 minutes ago.
Well, then you play.
I said you can't use that as an excuse. I think, Bob, and we can have this argument until the cows come home. I think that there are people in the Maple Leaf organization that think Jack Campbell gets them a better chance to win in the playoffs than Freddie Anderson. Period. End of story. Doesn't matter who number one is. Jack Campbell is the goalie of record.
I'm holding up my hand. I agree.
And that's what's going to happen.
But I don't think it, and I would tell you this, in complete honesty, it's not because I think Campbell, I'm certain that Campbell's a better goaltender. What I am certain of is that I've seen enough of Freddie Anderson in the playoffs. And, you know, nobody wants to use the choke thing, but he hasn't played well. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
He hasn't performed. If I was a forward, I'd have no confidence.
Okay. So Freddie Anderson, so now you're gonna do your best imitation of Kyle Dubas now, and I'm gonna be in the press conference, and we're on a Zoom call. It's the end of the season. Recognize John Shannon from the Bob Account podcast to talk to Kyle Dubas. Hey, Kyle, how you doing? Kyle?
I'm not here. I don't talk to the media anymore.
Freddie Anderson didn't play down the stretch, was on the IR and didn't get much playoff or any playoff action. And he's an unrestricted free agent. What are you doing with Freddie Anderson?
Well, I'd trade his ass if I could.
You can't trade him. He's an unrestricted free agent. Are you going to re-sign Freddie
Anderson? I said I'd trade his ass if I could. I understand I can't. And no, I'm not re-signing him to a big contract. I'm going to find another goaltender.
Other than Jack Campbell.
Well, I'm going to find a goaltender to replace Freddie Anderson. How long is Campbell under a contract?
One more
Kyle Dubas, I should know that probably, but
yeah, thanks, Kyle. But no, you have people for that. You have two guys, Lawrence Gilman and Brandon Prittiman, that can be in your corner and whisper in your ear.
Thank you.
But I wonder too, Bob, is that part of the equation? Are we going to put a guy back in that we know we're not going to re-sign?
Oh, I'm not going to go that far, John. I think you try and win with what you got. But I think you try and make the best decisions you can. And again, the intriguing thing here is you're asking these questions of the hypothetical Kyle Dubas. Don't you think these are questions that should be asked of a hypothetical Sheldon Keefe? Because the coach should be making that decision, not the general manager. Oh. And yet I understand that in sports today, that is not always the case.
Well, this sport is getting more and more like baseball.
Where the decisions are being made by suits in the front office rather than the guy who's on the bench or behind the bench.
Right? Yeah, it's not as drastic as baseball, but there are discussions about not necessarily who's going to play with whom, but who's in the lineup. You know, I think that happens. I think that's happening more and more in hockey. You know, there are lots of places where you say, who's your goalie tonight? That's up to the coach. But I do think there are certain lineup issues that are team decisions.
Well, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth now, because the scenario that we're talking about here is who the goaltender is. You know, and if the coach should have that decision, then give it to him.
I think you go team by team. And you could probably be able to figure out which team discusses things by committee and which team allows the coach to make the decision.
Well, but again, I think to a great extent, that would be a reflection of the personality of the coach and the historic longevity of that coach. If a coach is secure, comfortable in his job, if he is strong-willed, perhaps single-minded, has been
what
there
about
for a while.
Just being a stubborn old coot? What about being a stubborn old coot?
That too. Maybe
John that, John, maybe John Tortorellis.
Well, he's John the first guy I thought of.
Well, Dave Tippett could be a stubborn old coot too.
Well, okay. So I'm not saying he's the only one. I think there's a bunch of them. And maybe they aren't stubborn. Would you tell John Cooper who to play in goal?
No. What? He has the best goalie in hockey.
Well.
Hey, John, okay, go with Vasilevsky.
No, but I mean, here's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup. He's got a team that's fantastic. He's a really good coach.
Yeah. There's
probably half a dozen guys out there who you would argue have earned the right to make all the decisions on the ice. But you know, there was a time when, and GMs would still tell you today, if we had a general manager on today, you'd say, where does your responsibility end and where does the coaches begin? And they tell you up, down, back, forth, and sideways, well, I don't put the lineup together. That's the coach's job. Well, that poppycock.
That's the code. That's the code.
But that's
line has blurred. That line has blurred a lot, Bob.
Not only blurred, it's been crossed more than a few times.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
So I'm starting Jack Campbell in goal. So, and well, I'm living with him until he can't.
And I am too. And it has nothing to do with Freddie being a free agent. It really has nothing to do directly with him having been injured. I am not concerned that Freddie Anderson is not healthy. I assume if he's going to play, he's healthy enough. I'm saying I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. He hasn't enlisted my confidence in the playoffs. He didn't do it last year, when they sort of made the playoffs, whatever that play-in thing was.
Play-in thing, and they lost to Columbus.
Yeah.
And he made a couple of mistakes.
And how many years before that did they go out in the first round? Three?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've played four series of playoffs over the last 4 years, if you kind of include last year's thing. Haven't won one. Now, it's not all his fault, but you would also concede he hasn't stolen a game for them or hasn't stolen a series and has played subpar in do-or-die games. At least one series I can remember, and probably more than one. So
there's always one of those brain gaffes at a key time in a playoff game. There's always a gaffe, you know, you wait for it, and you know it's going to come, and you know it's going to come, and then it happens.
Well, it's all about W's and L's, man. You know, yeah. The why, the where, the how is fundamentally irrelevant to me. It's did you, didn't you? And he hasn't. So I'm not giving him another chance, given the circumstances. Now, if he'd stayed healthy all year and Campbell had played 5 games or 10 games as the legit backup, mm-hmm. we all know who the starting goaltender would be in round one of the playoffs. It'd be Freddie Anderson. You know, and we wouldn't be here. We might sit here and say he shouldn't because of this history, but we know that he's going to be.
Or we'd be asking the question is how short is the leash?
Yeah. And that may be the only question you can ask.
Yeah.
But now you actually have the opportunity to make this change and not have to explain yourself.
Correct. And I think that's part of it, Bob. I think that's part of it.
I do too. I do too. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to say this as well. If you got the players in a room by themselves and told them none of this will get out, which of course would be a lie, don't you think they'd say, well, we want to go with Soupy? Don't you think?
Hold on. Are you just suggesting you know his nickname is Soupy, or every guy named Campbell is
Soupy? Every guy named Campbell's named Soupy. Okay. Everyone. Name one that isn't.
What about your pal Jamie Campbell? Is he Soupy?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Everyone.
No, I know.
It is the least unique nickname in all of...
That's not...
Well, sports, I suppose. Because every hockey player has a nickname. You know that.
Well, you know, actually, I think
you can't call him Campbelly.
I think Smitty is the worst, because Mike, you know, here's Mike Smith, Smitty.
Well, yeah, but you can't put a Y at the end of Campbell. Campbelly. No. Doesn't work.
No, okay. But to answer the original question, I forget the original question.
Now.
I would bet that the players would have lots of confidence in Jack Campbell.
Well, I think they would say he's the guy.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
So rather than being completely Toronto for this whole thing, I think this is actually, I know that goaltending is so important. Goaltending is so more important in playoffs. You know, Carey Price, you wonder what kind of shape he's going to be in if and when he comes back, and what difference he will make in a series if Montreal makes the playoffs.
Well, look at, Carey Price was the best goaltender in hockey for a number of years, but mm-hmm. I will submit to you that he is no longer the best goaltender in hockey. And
is he the best Canadian-born goalie in hockey?
Might be. But with no disrespect intended, I think his star has wandered a bit. And he had nights where he did not look like Carey Price, and more than a few.
Inconsistent. He's been inconsistent this year. There's no question.
Well, and that's my point. So now, are you expecting? But
would you bet? Would you ever bet against him, Bob?
Yeah.
Seriously, if you said,
I would
be, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, man. I wouldn't bet on him, and that's essentially what you're asking me in an indirect way. And I would have done it many times. The Montreal Canadiens have not been a very good hockey team for quite a while. But Carey Price is a good enough goaltender to steal you a game and steal you a series, and he's done it more than once.
Right. So if we're sitting here and you're on the desk and you're with James Duthie and you're doing the NHL preview on TSN, Bob McCowan, and TSN they say, well, yeah, you never know. Never say never, Bob. If you were sitting there and Duthie turned to you and said, give me the one reason the Montreal Canadiens, if they make the playoffs, they can beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. The one reason, it would be Carey Price.
Yeah. So, but I,
no, that's
would
my I point. Say, he's the, I, he's the
would
wild
I
card.
Say that I believe that that's going to happen? I would say absolutely not. And many times in the past, I believed it was going to happen because I saw it happen. I don't think he's that guy anymore. And this is no disrespect intended to Carey Price. You can't be. How old is Carey Price?
34, 35.
There comes a point.
34, 33.
You know? I don't know. And it doesn't. You don't have to fall off the wagon completely. You just aren't quite as good as you once were. Kind of like your career, John.
And Bob, I'm just starting, man. It's good. I'm rounding the first corner. We're not in the backstretch. We're getting better.
Okay. you just keep thinking that. I got nothing against Carey Price. I just don't think he's that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I've seen enough flaws in his performances. I've seen him play games that you go, what's wrong with him? I mean, can you argue that he wasn't the best goaltender in hockey?
Oh, no, no.
Probably a period of 5 years.
Yeah, maybe a little longer.
Maybe a little longer. But he's the guy you'd take for Team Canada. He's the guy you'd put on the ice every night.
He
was absolutely the guy, and I don't think he's that guy anymore. Now, could he jump up and bite somebody in the playoffs? Maybe he's bored. Maybe regular season games in the middle of a COVID infestation.
Well, he's got it. The reason I started to talk about Price was that he's in the same boat as Anderson. He's still hurt.
Anderson's never been. Yes. Okay. I'll give you that.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Price hasn't played for a while. Jake Allen is doing his damnedest to get the Canadiens into the playoffs.
He ain't Carey Price.
He's a good boy. He's a good goalie, but he's not Carey Price.
And Frederick Anderson is not Carey Price. He is a long way from Carey Price.
No.
Frederick Anderson is a serviceable, useful, top 15 goaltender. Yeah. I'm not sure he's top 10 in any year, but
It's funny though. This more than any other year, because of the shortened schedule, the way the games are played. Goaltending to me just seems to be so accentuated. You know, you can, when you distill it down a game, when you look at a scouting report, more so when you sit and talk about the Edmonton Oilers or the Winnipeg Jets, you can talk about their depth and you can talk about Connor and Leon, but you end up talking about Mike Smith and Connor Hellebuck. It's more so than any other year.
I don't agree with that.
Maybe I'm just closer to it. I
think it's the same as every other year. At the end of the day, if the goaltender plays well, you got a chance. If the goaltender doesn't play well, you got no chance.
Price did give Montreal a chance in the playoffs in their play-on round last year, because they actually got past that best of five series and Montreal or in Toronto didn't.
It's almost impossible. I got to say this properly. It's almost impossible to win the Stanley Cup without great goaltending, which generally means you have the best goaltender, but not always, because a player can be magical for a month and you can win the Stanley Cup. But you're not, you know, how many Stanley Cups would the Edmonton Oilers have won of their five in a row if it was all about
goal? No, four and five.
Okay, four and five.
They lost one in the middle. They lost one in the middle to it.
Yeah, the Eskimos won five in a row. The Oilers.
Right. Yeah. And Warren Moon was a great goaltender.
Well, Edmonton Eskimos had the best quarterback, but the Edmonton Oilers did not have the best goaltender. Far from it.
I beg your pardon?
The Edmonton Oilers did not have the best goaltender in the National Hockey League at the time.
I would submit to you in the period of time.
You're going
to
lose this argument. Don't go there.
They had the most clutch goaltender.
They had the most acrobatic, self-serving goaltender that there was.
He wasn't self-serving at all. Come on. First of all,
most overrated goaltender in all of hockey.
The first cup was
I like the guy. The guy's a nice guy.
The first cup was both of them, Grant Fuhr and Andy Moog. But Grant Fuhr was
what? Where does he rank in the all-time list of great goaltenders, in your opinion?
Top 10.
Nonsense.
Absolutely, Bob.
No chance.
Oh, Bob.
You don't give up 4 or 5 goals a night and play great. I got news for you. There were way too many nights when the Edmonton Oilers won games 8-5,
so you're not putting
9-6,
so
5-3.
Grant Fuhr shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. There's no way he should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. No way.
Correct. 100% correct,
Bob.
But he's not. With due credit, there's 100 other guys that shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But hockey, it's a club of inclusion, not exclusion. It's the hockey's bunch of good players, not great players, and certainly not greatest players. There are oodles of guys that shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and you, John Shannon, know that.
But Grant Fuhr should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
He wouldn't be in mine.
Oh, Bob, please.
Don't oh Bob me. He would not be in mine. I watched this guy play. Wins do not, you know, you don't put a W beside every goaltender and then add it up at the end and say, well, he was a 300-game winner, therefore he's an automatic for the Hall of Fame.
You got to play well.
And he wasn't great.
He was one of the greatest clutch goaltenders, making the right save at the right time.
When? Name one. Name one.
I think in the 1987 Stanley Cup final against Philadelphia, he did it. I think in the 1987 Canada Cup, he did it.
Cite the case. Give me the play-by-play.
I just did.
I don't remember. Well, you're giving me generic nonsense.
I think he stopped one of the Sutter boys, which
he wasn't even playing, and I wouldn't know the difference.
He stopped a penalty shot against Philadelphia.
I stopped a penalty shot when I was 6 years old. And I didn't make it to the National Hockey League.
That's right. I forgot you were a goaltender. I forgot.
I was a target. Don't mess with me, John Shannon. I know my goaltenders.
Actually, I know. I know. I'm starting to win the argument when I say "Oh, Bob," and you turn and say, "Oh, don't oh Bob me."
So wait a second. He's in the top 10.
Yeah.
Who else is in your top 10 then?
Oh.
Top 10 all-time goaltenders.
Right now?
Patrick Waugh.
Brodeur, Patrick Waugh. Balfour. Yeah.
Balfour, yeah.
Yeah. Terry Sawchuk. Yeah.
Glenn Hall, Terry Sawchuk.
Yeah.
Bauer?
No.
No, okay. I'll give you that one.
Bernie
Perron. Oh, Bernie
Perron. The problem with Bernie Perron, he may not have been there long enough. His career wasn't very long. But yeah, right now Bernie Perron, yeah.
Now, if you go back before the '60s, like a trip.
No, I'm going way back.
What about
you know? What I mean?
Did you say?
See, I never saw Turk Broda play.
Jacques Plante.
Oh, Jacques Plante. He might be at the top. He might be right at the top.
Okay.
And then Grant. I think Grant's in that list right there.
No, you can't get to him.
And Kenny. Kenny.
Oh, Dryden.
Yeah. I think that's 10, isn't it?
That's 8. 2, 4, 6, 8.
Okay. So, I mean, I mean, I'd have to pull out some books to look again, but and you know, you've caught me off guard. I haven't done any research. Well, you know,
I might
done it off the top of my head.
I might put Bruce Gamble ahead of Grant Fuhr.
Oh, Bob.
I just pulled that rabbit out of my hat.
Bruce Gamble got traded for Bernie Perrant.
Bruce Gamble was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I take Johnny Bauer over Fuhr.
I
put him in the top 10.
Well, I'm putting Fuhr in the.
I'll guarantee you Johnny Bauer's goals against average was better than Grant Fuhr's. And I also will guarantee you that he won as many Stanley Cups.
Grant would have won four because Billy Ranford was the goalie of record in 90. Johnny would have won.
He would have won four.
Yeah.
So four and four. And Johnny's NHL career didn't start till he was 33 years old, at least. We got to take the break.
Oh, what?
Probably not a moment.
Are we done yet?
Oh, you're done. But the program isn't done yet. Back after these messages. A golf tournament that I'm interested in that probably nobody else is.
The Valspar?
Yeah, they're playing at Innisbrook.
Oh, really?
Which
are you going to join there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, are you?
I actually plan to get a place at Innisbrook. And for those people that aren't aware, Innisbrook is just north of Tampa. And I've been there several times. It's a very nice resort. And they've got three 18-hole championship golf courses. And the course that they play the Valspar on is a real good golf course, mm-hmm. real challenging golf course. Mm-hmm. And so I'm paying attention. And I'm scouting houses while I'm watching the golf.
Actually, you're not really watching the golf. You're looking in the distance.
More or less. Although the one thing I don't know is if there are actually single family homes there. I don't know if there are. I know that all I'm looking at is one of those like townhouse things. They are in these complexes. It's like a complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not all that big, but I don't have any friends.
Are there guest rooms?
Well, they come with two bedrooms, but I'm going to go in and buy and get one and then convert it and turn the two bedrooms into one bedroom because I don't want to have any place where mooches can just show up and think they can stay for free.
So I'd have to sleep on the sofa?
No, you'd have to sleep in the hotel. About 20 minutes down the road.
No, Bob, that's how can I be? I can't be there in time for the tea time then.
Yeah, well, snooze, you lose, pal.
Okay. All right.
So I'll be paying attention to that this weekend. Thank you very much. Is there anything else going on? Oh, the draft was yesterday. We haven't even mentioned the draft. Quarterback. Exactly what I said would happen.
And then our buddy Greg Cosell said that Pitts would go fourth to the Atlanta Falcons, and he did.
And
remember we talked about the two wide receivers from Alabama, Waddle. Yeah.
Well, they both got taken in the
Devontae
top
Smith, but Waddle got taken higher than the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah,
by about four. I think Smith ended up in Philadelphia. So,
well, I'd like to tell you how surprised I am by that, but look, I don't watch that much college football. I watch Ohio State play, and I saw just about every game that Fields played at quarterback for the Buckeyes over the last couple of years, and he impressed the hell out of me. I no disrespect intended. Again, I don't know why he went 10th to the Bears. I think.
Yeah, well, the Bears traded up, didn't they? Or 11th. I think Bears traded up to get him, right?
Yeah, but maybe that's where he should have gone. Maybe there's a flaw in his game that I haven't seen. But I'll tell you what. I haven't seen a more accurate passer in all of college football. And he can run. Now, is there a flaw in his game? I guess there must be. But I'd have taken a chance on him.
Well, the other story, the other quarterback, Mac Jones, ends up going to New England. And he might be perfect guy for Belichick's offense in the long run. And the other story that's not going to go away, Bob, I don't think, that started around the draft was Aaron Rodgers. The schism between Rodgers and the Packers.
The desire to get
out. Is real. And he was hoping that somehow, some way, he could end up. He's from Northern California. He played at Cal.
Wanted to play for the 49ers.
He wanted to play for the 49ers.
Yeah. May still. But 49ers have a quarterback and drafted a quarterback. And yeah. And what do you,
I don't think Garoppolo is going to be there long.
You may be right, but he is there now. I mean, what would you pay for Rodgers at this point in his career? Has he got three more years?
Isn't this tantamount to what we saw with Joe Montana leaving the 49ers and going to Kansas City?
There's some of that in this. You know, I'll give you that comparison. I don't know. I don't know what I'd give.
Would you give up two
first round choices?
Well, if you were a contender and you felt you were one player, the starting quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl, the answer is yes. But
there is no such team.
Not everybody's. Well, it was Tampa last year. They were one player away from winning the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady
won them. I don't agree. I don't agree. They were one player on maturation and a tight end and a few other guys. And they felt
Gronk wasn't that important.
But they also got the greatest quarterback of all time. And yeah, Rodgers, while he's really good, isn't that.
He's in my top 10.
Is he tied with Grant Fuhr?
Oh, stop it.
In this case, I think you're right. I think he is actually in the top 10. But
yes, he is, of course.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know what you'd pay.
Yeah. Is it over yet?
Yeah, I think it is. And not a moment too soon. Let's not do this again very soon.
Okay.
My back is killing me from carrying you for the last 46 minutes.
Oh, man.
God, I'd rather talk to a guest.
Okay.
I'd rather have somebody else to talk to than just you. Have yourselves a swell weekend. If the creek don't rise, we'll see you again on Monday. And I'm betting with somebody else. Adios, caballeros. Happy Cinco de Mayo, too. It's coming up. Bye-bye.